The primary emphasis that I would like to bring to our attention today is the distinction between the general thought of dating as being an aspect of entertainment in the world as you commonly knew it, that is, you went there to be entertained, you went to a movie, you went to a concert, you went bowling, or you went to dance, and maybe you shared some things with others apart from your date, but as a whole, it was essentially and often regarded as a form of entertainment. Now, entertainment has its place. There is a time and place for most things. There is, however, another important role in the kind of social contact, dating, or fellowship that is quite different and that is concerned essentially for others. One of the problems in a large group such as this is the fact that we have young people, and my previous study in August was essentially addressed to parents and to, therefore, young people who could profit by what was being said. It wasn't addressed especially to the social needs of the elderly, but I think that many older individuals could have taken the thoughts and developed them in their social contact and conversation and conveyed it to others. And too often, perhaps, we overlook how to make use of what we hear to help another. Now, the basic philosophy of the world today is that I live to please myself. This is a quote that our son Manfred brought home from school from one of his friends. That's his philosophy of life. I'm here to please myself. Jesus came to please not himself. That's the other philosophy. And the importance of that is that in pleasing ourselves, we often look in the mirror and suddenly become distressed. There are few of you who will know what I mean. The majority have no recollection or no awareness of this, undoubtedly. But when you seek to please others, you're not looking at yourself in the mirror, and no distress need follow. I'm saying this because too often this is one of the problems in our social relationship. When Jesus came not to please himself, in a sense he set an example, and you will discover, of course, that in not pleasing himself, he did more for himself than all the people who thought they were pleasing themselves. And so it is that if we take a new view of what social relationships should be, we discover that we find far greater pleasure in the long run in sharing something of ourselves with another for the sake and the welfare of the other party. Now, it's one thing to make such an explanation. It's another thing to figure out how to implement it. And it is the implementation that I should like to dwell at some length upon a bit later. But first, we have to recognize that the biblical principle of giving rather than getting, which what Mr. Armstrong has emphasized over the years, by the way, there are some chairs up front here, I think, leaves us with a situation in which we think of other people, whether younger, our same age, older, or handicapped in some manner. And we suddenly discover that what we term dating need not have the pressure cooker relationship of potential romance every time you have a date. You can have a social occasion or a date without this feeling for the simple reason you have another approach to dating. So I now would like to explain something regarding dating and its concept for 1977-78. This word comes from the thought of making an appointment, that is to set up a date at which something would be done. It normally has the idea of with someone else. Unfortunately, of course, there's some people who don't even make an appointment. They just come at the last minute and say, how would you like to do this or that? Dating in itself presumes ideas developed in advance and plans made for a given period of time or a specific beginning point. I'd like to stress that because one of the problems many girls especially have is the fact that fellows come and offer few options. They haven't really thought anything through, and secondarily, they really haven't given any advance warning as to the time. Just a weekend snap thought is too often the case. But that's not my main point. The main point is that dating is not in itself equivalent to the pursuit, by very definition, the pursuit of someone with whom you ultimately choose to live in marriage. Now, dating, unfortunately, did become that when parents, 40 years ago and more, abdicated much of their responsibility. And instead of an opportunity of young people, parents, and older people, groups, to get together as often in the autumn season it might be, with the opportunity of getting acquainted with others and socially developing oneself, it moved slowly in the direction of essentially being an institution devoted to romance and marriage as a kind of preliminary. It came to the place, finally, when social responsibilities were often neglected on the part of parents and instructing young people, that the next step was to have someone to go steady with, so that you didn't have to worry about finding someone else, being told, no, I am either uninterested or this is not the evening or someone else has asked me out. And the social inability to cope with that on the part of very many led to the next step in the development, and that is what we know of as going steady, and there may be other terms today. Now, the final step following that is commitment, so that we have a lot of people who are committed to each other, and they often use the word physical in front of it, which means some kind of sexual relation to make the going steady a little more steady. This is the way the world has it. And sometimes young people in the church develop it, very unfortunately. And of course, marriage at the same time has declined. And the stigma that one time fell on older bachelors or old maids, terms that the latter term almost non-existent in our vocabulary today, began to change. And Bill Butler and I were discussing at some length yesterday what has happened in the last 70 years and why more and more women remain single and more men do so, without the penalties that used to come on a woman who had no source of income and a man who had no way of taking care of things at home when he was away at work. We have now so many electrical gadgets that it is possible for men to be bachelors and take care of their washing and their cooking. It is possible for women to have these same things cared for and earn a living themselves. And sometimes they pool their income as a married couple, sometimes as two people living together. And these are all various institutions that we have. So that there's really been some remarkable, there have been some remarkable trends in the last 70 years, broadly speaking, with respect to marriage, in the last 40 years since the Great Depression, with respect to the institution of dating and the minor role of parents today. Now, I, in a sense, am hearkening back slightly to what I said before, but I think it is an important preliminary because it indicates that actually dating is shifting from merely a matter of mate selection to fulfill another important role. And whether it does so in the church belatedly and earlier in the world, it is nevertheless a social function that now is serving as much the need of solving the question of loneliness as it does solve the question of mate selection. Now, with so many elderly people in the worldwide Church of God and before us here, percentage-wise, we certainly have a larger group, and we try to address that group as much as others. We must now have a new emphasis in our minds on the subject of dating and social relationships. And the emphasis should be that we bring about in our minds an awareness that dating is a social opportunity to share something of your life and experience with another and to provide someone else with an opportunity which he or she might not otherwise have, either singly or as groups, and where you resolve probably the biggest area of concern of this group here, which is not selecting a mate, but which is the question of social intercourse and the opportunity to have someone to talk with to banish loneliness. There isn't any question that that is more significant for the larger group. Now, the question of finding a mate in the process is a secondary matter for some, and it may be primary for others. But if we take dating in its broad social sense, which means we are concerned with the community and our social development as human beings, it means we also are concerned with the cultural awareness of the around, and we are concerned with our religious responsibility of visiting the sick, the elderly, the widow, the fatherless. We learn, in other words, that dating or making an appointment or a social occasion or a get-together or whatever term we should choose to use can have the social development of the human being in terms of the graces that have tended to disappear with the decline of the middle and upper classes, which doesn't mean that class distinction was right. It often meant snobbery, but it tends to mean that certain qualities that make it possible for men and women to know how to dance, to know how to greet others, to know how to accept a no as well as a yes, and to provide for the concerns of others, these things have tended to be mediocritized instead of emphasized in a proper way. And then there is the great impact of culture in our modern world, where we are in a sense one world by means of communication and sharing things from the outside with each other and our own learned experiences. And then there is, again, by way of repetition of the third, this very human need of caring for the widowed, the divorced, if you please, the elderly, the handicapped, the very young, and then necessarily in terms of loneliness, everybody else in between. We have a religious duty, if you please, to make our social occasions and opportunities something more than they have been. This resolves the question, as I mentioned before, this pressure cooker situation, as to why certain young men don't date most women. The answer is they don't intend to marry them. They wouldn't want to marry them, so why date them? Or a girl will turn down any number of fellows. Reason? Well, I wouldn't want to marry him. And the selection of whom you decide to date has too often been based on just the one issue of whether you would ever think of marrying an individual or whether you would ever want to entertain the idea. This is one of the problems that this group, more than the college students, and there are some of you who are presently college students, whether at Ambassador or elsewhere, this is the idea that must be paramount. There is, of course, always in a college environment, the opportunity there with a primary emphasis, not the only one, but a primary emphasis on being very aware of someone of the opposite sex in terms of whether it would make a wise move to be married to such an individual. Mr. Armstrong, long ago, reiterated in the autobiography, pointed out that when he found an individual with whom he might be attracted, but whom he knew he should never marry, that's the one he chose never to date again. And that's a right decision, and I want to bring it up so nobody says, well, based on what you said, I got involved with this woman or I got involved with this man. If you hadn't given me that wrong advice, I wouldn't now be married to this creature. Now, and there are people with that attitude, you know, only 3 months after marriage, or is it two? These are some of the problems. The issue that Mr. Armstrong addressed is to avoid dating that leads to a romantic situation when you could be attracted to someone whom you know you shouldn't marry. But the fact remains that if a single man here in the front row, let's say, were to date all of you women, had the chance in his life, he wouldn't be attracted to most of you. That's just a reality. Or a woman wouldn't be attracted to most of the men who are in this room. Therefore, we don't exclude the dating more than once or dating broadly once here and there with someone with whom you are not attracted, even if you know you wouldn't marry the individual. We're not talking about those areas at this point where you are attracted to someone. We're talking about the fact that most of your dates can be with people, most of your social contact can be with people whom you would normally not think of marrying. They might be much older, much younger. Boys who have no father, girls who have no father or mother, you know, that kind of a situation. where you can act as an older brother, an older sister, or like a grandparent for that matter, depending on who you are in this audience. And I think we've neglected that. And we have tended to evaluate our dating on the basis of the yeses, noes, pros, or cons only in terms of potential marriage. But I'm pointing up that, apart from the question of being attracted to someone with whom you shouldn't go out again if that's not the right person for you, you make up your mind. That's what Mr. Armstrong said long ago. That's sound. But for the vast majority here, you could date three or four or five times and still not be attracted. And you know you wouldn't marry the individual, but you are providing a social opportunity that you might like to share, not just with the other person alone, but maybe with third parties, which is now what I should like to approach a little more directly. That is, how do we develop a new and broader look at the social responsibility that we have, both toward ourselves in the development of the individual as a human being, as well as the development and the care and the concern of others. There are many things we share in. We have tended in times past to think of hobbies as something you do in the garage or a woman does at home, that you might pretty well limit yourself to, and maybe a very few others. But I think that there is a whole area of our human interest and experience that we haven't shared and that we have a reason to develop. And we have separated so much of what is interesting about us as human beings from dating. Because after all, if you're married, you assume you don't date anymore, which is of course totally untrue, because when you ask another married couple over, that's a date, whether you know it or not. That's what the word means, and I think we ought to broaden it out so we understand what we're really saying when we use the term. And in the same way, there are many things that as single people, the majority of you here, can do that will enable you to fulfill a very significant biblical role that you haven't heretofore. And in the process, you might discover someone indeed whom you could be interested in. But it would make that a much more meaningful relationship to discover such an individual than to pursue the idea of finding such an individual and never discovering. And that leads to frustrations, or as no small number of young people would say in middle age, I'm frustrated because I haven't found anyone I could marry. In our local area, we don't have that many people. Too often, we're looking for what we think is the kind of person we want to marry. And of course, there are others who are dating without any intention of marriage at all in the long run, which for many might be better. But I think we must get away from the pressure cooker situation and open up our dating horizons much more broadly to include the cultural and the religious needs of the community that is the worldwide Church of God. I think it will mean a great deal, for that matter, even sometimes for husbands or wives or children of converted members. That is, you sometimes have young people or mates of the converted person whom you know. And you can broaden your horizons and know a little more how to get along with individuals who are not converted. And you can sometimes help bring them into our social relationship instead of abandoning the church's social relationship to go to the world because the church has offered no social relationships that seem sufficiently meaningful for you. Now, primary responsibility must rest on the individual. It cannot rest on Mr. Bill Butler. It would be ill-advised that he should be a super mastermind of all your social needs and desires. It would be impossible. He has another task. But there are things that he can do for you as a kind of coordinator, passing along certain responsibilities to others. But we do have, I know I saw it at one of the back tables there, some sign-up sheets, and at some later time we probably should comment on what is there that I don't think has been commented on yet. But we have never developed, and what I should like to do now is to suggest that we ought to develop in our social life a far more thoroughly integrated program for contacting others without having it to be rigidly structured, but where we all accept individually responsibility and where you feel you can coordinate either with your local church area or here as need be. For instance, I talked to an individual who may or may not be in the audience, so that if I say some things that may or may not seem embarrassing, you don't know who she is, you don't know who he is, it doesn't matter. But this individual had some emotional problems pertaining to someone, and it was an ill-advised relationship. And I said, well, don't you find individuals whom you can enjoy dating? And the answer is, well, I don't have anyone who's interested in, and she named or he named certain things. Now, if you're a man who would come to me and you haven't found anyone in the local congregation, everybody seems interested in somebody else, what do you do? Usually, you've waited to the Feast of Tabernacles, where you saw a large group and about the only social thing that was done was dancing. Or you might have gone out with some friends for certain meals. And you had a very great problem. What we did talk about was something that we want to bring up this morning, and I have discussed it at some length with Mr. Butler, who might like to momentarily comment on how we might proceed to develop what I want to lead into here. This particular person mentioned a number of sports that I myself only would be partly interested in. And so I like to bring up the fact that you may be interested in sports, and someone else may be interested in photography, someone else may be interested in music, and Peter Miller is interested in fishing at 90. And whoever it was of you who took him out fishing not so long ago, it was very much appreciated. Now, if I mention him, he happens to be in our local congregation, and I think it illustrates a point that the elderly can enjoy some unusual things as well. How do we become acquainted with other people who have certain interests in sports, in gardening or cooking or hiking, the whole spectrum of music, dancing, photography? I've just listed thoughts that come up here. How do we contact other people? That's been the problem. See, we never thought of it in those terms, but because we were looking for mates too often in some of the smaller congregations, and even locally, There are not that many individuals in any one congregation. The problem is, what we should learn about marriage is that the more we share of our lives with someone else, the more likely we will find a compatible individual. Therefore, what we really ought to do is learn to share more of our interests with others. I hope I'm making it simple and clear. And for all of us, whether we are elderly and lonely and would never think of remarriage, or young and lonely and embittered and would never think of remarriage, and there are things like that that beset people, we can at least improve ourselves, help others, develop culturally, and in some cases, without a doubt, serve a very significant religious need. And I use the term religious there in the sense of James defining religion, and that's the only place in all the Bible where religion is defined. It's not defined as Sabbath keeping. Religion is not defined as Sabbath keeping. It's not defined as tithing. True religion is defined in terms of James' account of visiting those who have social and emotional needs. That's what we're really thinking about today. How do we then solve this problem? We need to have people more aware of the interests of other people. You know, I could take a show of hands and ask you to explain and just look at the audience of how many of you bowl and how many don't, and how many like to dance as well as bowl. And, you know, we could ultimately get down to 10 different points, and there would be a few people who like all 10. But there are some who don't. Now, what we really need to do is to have a working relationship locally where we have a way of contacting others, where we can share something of our mutual interests. Some of our Imperial AM congregation have done this. This is not of my doing, but there is a group that is involved in wine tasting, which is not for the extremely poor, but it's also not extremely expensive. And it provides a very remarkable cultural as well as social opportunity for singles and married. And it provides it in an environment that never gets out of hand in that sense, which is the problem with too many beers and cocktails 1 to 2 hours before a meal. We need young people and older people, married or single. It certainly can include some married, because some of our married men have the best skills in some of these areas, where we have in a local congregation individuals who can be responsible on their own as a part of the social development of individuals within the congregation. And then coordination certainly can be handled here at headquarters. Without any question, some of us can share it. I can share some things. Mr. Bill Butler can share others. We have individuals who are interested in any number of sports, and what we'd like to do is learn something of your interests. And I know there were some sheets naming bowling or other things back there. Now, I don't know how many sheets of paper there are. Very probably not enough. But we'd like to know who you are, if you have no objection to your address and phone number. I think it would help. Let me illustrate. We have some men who have taught in Imperial, who now may or may not teach in the college or some public school, who are gifted in many of the areas of sports. I'm going to use this as an illustration where we can, I think, give the best example. Here are men that some of you know about, and in a few cases, some women who might be leaders. Now, what they could do, and we were talking this over, it would be very nice if those of you who were in a specific area of interest knew others who also were younger or older, men or women. Maybe it is that you like skiing, and in this area you don't do it more than a few times in the year. But it's an opportunity to share your knowledge of skiing and your social pleasures of skiing with others of like mind. And we really ought to have a list where, in each of the local congregations, and certainly if someone keeps such a list who is especially interested in that, we can also perhaps receive the information here. We'll not assume it's always up to date, and we normally want to pass the responsibility back to the local congregation if you wanted to contact someone at a greater distance than just locally. But I think that if we had individuals who could share social experience, shall we say bowling or tennis or swimming, and I'm concentrating on one area here alone, there's so many more I'll come to, volleyball, you might be surprised the people you meet. You might discover, if you're interested in playing tennis, an individual whom you get to know very well on the other side of the court, perhaps a lot better than in volleyball. And of course, there's golf for Gerald Waterhouse, who's not here. And you get to know people. Some functions, you may get to know them less. But you are in contact with someone else. Now, you may meet this person only because you're both interested in bowling. Just use that illustration because there is such a list for sign up back there, because one of the opportunities to get acquainted. You may never meet this person again. It may be a man, it may be a woman. Your lives don't normally cross. But again, you might meet somebody, the same person swimming, the same person bowling, or in tennis, or in hiking, or in certain musical occasions. And you discover you're meeting the person far more often. This person you share much more of your life and thinking with. And you will discover, in some cases, if you're single and interested in marriage, that indeed you might find someone where your life crosses so much more. This society, I think, is ridiculous in emphasizing the fact that there must be communication. I say that most marriages break up because there's too much of the wrong kind of communication. You said that, but you denied that, and I saw you. And this kind of accusation, you know, that we get when we have our counseling. Communication needs definition. It is something that you are actually talking about that you mutually share in. It is not merely talking or communicating. Now, I know there's some silent people who need to learn the art of communicating, but I think more marriages break up because some people talk too much than not enough. And let that be a warning. But the problem is what you are going to talk about, what you mutually share. And we often have overlooked this in talking about talking instead of what you are going to talk about, which is the real issue. And so, while we help others, whether of the same sex or the opposite sex, or of the same age, younger or older, or handicapped in some manner, there are things that we can do. Now let me just mention, Mr. Bill Butler pointed up interesting things. There are some of you who are physically handicapped who really need an opportunity to get out to Palm Springs and to relax in many of the spas that are out there and available. Now, long ago, a handicapped man invited me to Palm Springs. It's the only time I ever stayed there. It was Mr. Howard Clark. He needed to be rejuvenated because he had certain physical problems, despite what he was healed of. And he invited me. I didn't invite him. That was an interesting turnabout. And it was one of my most interesting experiences to be out there. My wife was visiting her father, in case you wonder what had happened. There are opportunities for just physical relaxation, social development, loneliness, where you can even share something with someone of the same sex. There's nothing to do with homosexualism or lesbianism. We're talking here about a need. And you get acquainted with the other person. We got acquainted with other people. You know, you'd relax and sit or rest in a chair. We talked to an older couple, a man and wife, while floating in one of these spas. And when I got out, I blacked out, the first time I ever had been in one, and Mr. Clark caught me. And that was another experience. Now, there are many things, you know, that you can do that you probably never thought about. There are numerous sports, and there is most certainly hiking. There is a vast array of music, both in terms of listening to and in performing. I think that no small number of people who do perform well would find a very wonderful social occasion. If you could, with someone else, perhaps a girl or another fellow or two girls, whatever your skills are, to provide an evening's entertainment. Now, in some cases, it could be done professionally, and people shouldn't ask you unless there is mutual agreement in terms of, you know, professional pay, but there's sometimes things you might like to do voluntarily. I have wished sometimes that I could find the right person who would perform certain music when I have special guests from around the world. My wife does her part in cooking, and that's another area I want to come to in a moment. But I believe that there are ways of developing our hobbies, our skills, and sharing them socially with others that we haven't always thought to do. Now, there's a vast area in cooking. There's a vast area in gardening or horticulture. That's probably the most neglected area. It's one that I am especially interested in. It's the one thing that I shared most with my wife before we were married. It's the one thing that Adam was to share with the Almighty and with Eve. And not handling a certain tree properly led to our present situation. So gardening is indeed a significant area that we can share in socially. You know, if we had Peter Miller over too often, he'd want to prune our roses. And my wife doesn't want him to because she believes she knows how. But the fact remains that elderly people can appreciate some things as their sight remains with them. And it's amazing what you can share with people of another age bracket altogether. Or that people of another age bracket might want to share with you. And I think we need to take a look at this whole perspective. There's nothing like the experience and really getting acquainted with what we might call window shopping, looking in antique stores, visiting the thieves' market or its equivalent. You will discover the tastes of other people. If you were to visit art galleries, or especially art galleries as well as museums, but if you were to visit art galleries, you would discover the tastes of other people. So she likes Picasso, and you like Grandma Moses. Now, there may be a reason why you share enough other things in common that you could be happy. But you realize there are also differences. And in music, this is even greater because music has so many more areas to express itself in. You know, the more you share with other people, it may be nothing but driving, which I don't recommend as a normal thing, but on a certain occasion in this lovely climate, there are people who can never get out, and this is an appropriate thing to do. You can combine many ideas. You like to hike, you're a photographer. You like to garden, you're a photographer. You like to cook, and you're a photographer. You like to dance, and you're a photographer. I'm just illustrating a point. There are many things that you can combine and socially share with others. Now, I have some things later I would like to present as illustrations of how you can share, but I don't think we normally, as human beings and as Christians, realize what this could do to the development of ourselves in terms of being more able to communicate verbally and physically and emotionally with other people. There may be an occasion where fellows and girls might like to, if you please, clean up somebody's home on a weekend. Ever thought about that as a date? Probably not. The movies, you know, are easier to decide on, but this might be cheaper. I helped clean somebody's yard once, and it's surprising what I found out there that I kept, that he didn't want, wanted it thrown away. Now, of course, we're not talking about keeping what belongs to the party, but when he throws it away, that's another thing. There's no use putting it in the dump. And I was paying to have the rest of it dumped. That was of concern, say, in this particular instance. Well, you might be surprised at things of this nature that you can do. How would you like, if you're a girl, to be with a fellow and you start to clean up the place at 9 a.m. and by 11 he's hungry and he's about finished doing any work and you have to keep it up till 12 or 1. You'll soon discover what kind of a fellow he is, you know. And you might find that the girl is one of these who can do something for an hour or two and then wants to quit. I mean, emotionally, you might be surprised what you learn of people that you never learned when you were seated in the movie side by side. And it's not the movie experience you'll share in marriage the rest of your life. What you will share is a workload in and out of the home. And there is where the problems will arise. So I propose that we should give some serious thought, and I will like to develop this, but at the moment,
I'd like to ask Bill Butler to discuss either with me or with you or however we want to comment on it, how we could best, with our local areas of maybe 10 to 13 churches that might be represented here, apart from the extremes in the state where some of you are from, but how we could develop what I would call communication at the local level, and I don't mean church administration level, you see, but where some of you locally who are known to be enthusiasts could let others know when certain things are available, or where others would at least know that you're interested. I am sure that in a local congregation that there are people who don't have the faintest idea that others are interested in certain things, even in their own age bracket. In our congregations, when we have 350, 400 to 900 people or 1,000, we don't even meet some of these people.
Well, one comment I could make, Dr. Hay, is there is an administrative sort of organization set up right now where we have a representative in every local church area who is a single person. He works with the singles group. And this may provide some means of communication where the list he was referring to, I had mentioned at the beginning of the Bible study, I think we had bowling, didn't we? Tennis, bridge. It seemed to me there was something else. Well, the singles mailing list itself. If you're from out of town, which many of you are, go ahead and sign up that list, on that list, and mention what your church is. And what we'll do is forward that name to your local church representative. Most of you know him. I don't remember all the names myself. There are about 20 different representatives. And he can see what's prevalent in your area in the way of interest and then organize it on a local basis. And of course here, as I mentioned earlier, we can redistribute that list among the people who sign it in the Pasadena area. And then of course you can call each other, or we can pick a person who has the leadership ability there, and he can organize activities and call you all in at once. I'd like to mention regarding something like sports, tennis. Tennis is probably the fastest growing game, participatory game, outside of perhaps racquetball. And tennis, it's important for a person to learn right. I think it's important to learn anything right, you know, racquetball, cards, anything, or else you'll never enjoy it as much. But we do have the local Parks and Recreation Department here in Pasadena, and also in the other local communities, who have programs to teach such things. I'm involved in a guitar class myself now, and although the church may itself not be able to teach you or find someone who has the time or the facilities to teach you how to play tennis correctly, if a small group would like to sign up with the Pasadena Parks and Recreational System, they have beginning classes, advanced beginning, intermediate, advanced, and they have the different levels, and they're qualified and they're trained to do that type thing. So that's a suggestion there.
They're very nice. I'm really, you know, an invited guest. This is where, of course, you're invited too. But to know that we do have young people or older people, some individual who can, or more than one in some larger congregations, coordinate or convey information of this nature, and where he can either bring it to our attention locally or vice versa. And I think that indeed there are areas, if I mentioned photography as well as sports, both of these, as you mentioned, do demand certain skills. And I think that it's so easy to do things in life where we learn poorly and therefore execute poorly thereafter, or learn well. And it's nice to know of people who do know how to do things well and can share some of that knowledge with others, and that you learn something about other people who are learning with you. And you can learn sometimes in the most remarkable and delightful social environment. And hence my mention in this connection of name and address and phone number as you desire. I mean, there are some reasons why privacy would be advised and it would be handled through third parties. I can understand that. I'm not trying to pass out that kind of information except as it meets with your approval. But it would mean then that we could coordinate. And I think this would be a very fine thing, and I do very much appreciate the responsibility that I know has been shouldered by those who have worked with Mr. Bill Butler on the matter. What I'd like to do momentarily is to point out a few things that might be of help. We were discussing what would you do in Southern California with the emphasis on Los Angeles, but Los Angeles is more than a city. It's a vast megalopolis. There happens to be a nice, summarized, up-to-date guide that I picked up yesterday, and without defining it, it just used the thought of a guide. Now, most of these are aimed at people who are married or who have a certain social interest individually in another. You will have a primary emphasis on motels, hotels, and restaurants, but there are many other thoughts expressed along the way. And I'm saying that this is a way of starting out if you are seriously interested in other young people in marriage. What I like about it is that it tells you how many remarkable places you can dine for under $5. Then you can add your tip. It's amazing what you can do. I am able to take people out sometimes where the evening meal is $4.95, and it isn't McDonald's. Now, you know, there are some very interesting things that you learn in something as inexpensive as this for $1.95 that you can share with others. You don't all have to get a copy, and others may vary in price or be by some other author. Anyway, if you have guests coming here, some of you have guests from another town, or from another town you have wanted to do something when you came to this city. What I learned about this is the fact that most of us who live here know less about it than those who come to visit. Because the visitors buy this. And I've been here for 30 years now, and I have never bought one before. But that's, you know, that's why I've said Los Angeles seems awfully dull until I begin to read what's here. And then I realized that there are many things quite different from the usual concept of worldly entertainment, the worldly movie, the worldly discotheque, where you are strictly in a world-organized environment in which you are a little cog being entertained. And this is what we want to get away from. We want to get to the place where you socially learn how to, if you please, entertain others. I don't mean just, you know, at the coffee table. I mean in any number of areas we can imagine. This is certainly something like this very helpful. One of the most helpful magazines in all of California, and since most of you are from California or Western Arizona, which would be included, is not a subscription to, but a month purchase if you happen to be interested. Of course, a subscription will also do, and it's Sunset. Now, it's an overwhelming magazine, and I have never gotten much benefit out of it because it's so big. Until I realized that there's an index, that is, a table of contents up front, and that would simplify it. See, I usually look at this, and my wife looks at this. And so she knows a lot more of what's going on than I do. And that's just a little something that you learn, you know, before you die, that you can simplify these things. There is a whole section, that is, there are many subtitles, one whole section on travel, another whole section on gardening, another whole section on food and entertaining, another section on workshop and craft projects, and building and remodeling. Of course, you understand the nature. But I do feel, from what I have examined, that there are more interesting things up to date. I was just looking at one here, October in Southern California Gardens, and that's not the one I want, busy month, a dozen shows and talks, 270B, here we are. Busy month, a dozen shows, five talks, a tea, a luncheon, a symposium, and they aren't all included here that are occurring. And it names the cities, Southern California, Hawaii, I haven't gone over how many pages, that's this edition. In Northern California, you'd have one devoted to Northern California, maybe in Hawaii, or such like. But it lists each one of the cities and the nearest one you might be living at. And in fact, I know of a show that is occurring in this particular area of gardening that you won't find listed here. It's at Descanso Gardens today and tomorrow, a chrysanthemum show, which you would find quite interesting. I took a group of elderly people who live with Mrs. Fernhelm. I think it must have been 2 years ago. I took them into the Big Tahunga, and then I told them I was going to surprise them, and I think it was something like this month or next, that we went to a, if you please, a nursery devoted exclusively to chrysanthemums, and this is the right time of year. I was starting to count the number of flowers we have on our chrysanthemums. I used tens of thousands, and I counted on the basis of one, there are over 1,000 on one of our chrysanthemums, and we have about 20 of them, so I think my figure wasn't wrong. And it's amazing what you can have in an array of color and things you can do, if you please, with others that you share in going to a place like a show. And some of you had a wonderful time at the Arboretum. Or if you please, that you can share by helping others plant who can no longer do it. I think we sometimes miss this part of life, and you can share something of this with a date. You don't have to merely think of the trowel or the spade or the garden hose. I found it was always interesting before we were married. The students had to take care of Mayfair. I found it much more interesting to work in the garden with the one who became my wife even than with Dr. Meredith, however interesting he was. That's just a fact. Now, you know, gardening provides a real insight into what people are like in that area, just like musical tastes, art, dancing, cooking, and the choice of movies, anything else you would like to share in. The beach, the mountains, hiking. How people respond and react in these situations. When there is a matter of stress and decision making. You know, one of the things that we're told about most in marriages that break up? Well, she was never like that, or he was never like that before we were married. I say, well, what do you mean? Now, maybe there can be spiritual shipwreck. That's an exception. I could tell most of these people that they were like that before. But you don't notice it in certain situations. But when you have the chance to argue or disagree on things that you do together before you're married, you learn a lot more about somebody else. And you can learn about somebody else while you're sharing something in life with a third party. In part of my ministry, one of the things that I sometimes do is buy plants for people who can't go out to the nursery and get them. Sometimes you help people plant who are older and handicapped. Sometimes they can do it, or you get others to do it. And you can make it a social situation. But we too often overlook the fact that sooner or later in life, what you wear, what you're saying is distinct from silently watching entertainment. What you eat, what you read, what you want to put on the wall in terms of pictures, all of these things that you argue about later and that marriages founder on, the kind of wallpaper. You know, one of the most interesting dates any fellow could have is to take a young woman he might be partially interested in to a wallpaper firm and look at the wallpapers and see what her tastes are. Never think about that? That's why I'm here, to help you. You really, some of these things, you don't have to be seriously interested or 4 feet deep in love. Try it before you're snared, to be sure that you really know that this person is someone you really are sharing it well with. Because you're going to have to face these questions later, and they are both cultural and social. I'm talking now perhaps on a one-on-one basis, you know, not a group situation. Hiking, you can have a nice group. But I think that this magazine, in terms of what we call the outdoors in Southern California, and speaking shows that are intellectual, visual shows, there are many things in this or equivalent magazines, and I'm not selling, I have no interest, but I'm just picking up something that we happen to have in our home. I think it can be a real help for those of you who are looking for something. Let me do it this way. Later on, some of you might like to step up here anyway. Something that you can do and share in that particular manner. Since we're dealing with gardens, let me mention that one of the growing areas is native plants of California gardens. You'd be surprised how many things you can share in this way. There is a show, and I believe this here, in fact, a plant sale of a foundation, the Theodore Payne Foundation, that is on Sunday and Saturday too, November 5 and 6. Natives for fall planting in the nursery, indoor plants, ferns, cacti, perennials, native flower seeds. There will be food and drink served in a picnic area. You wear comfortable shoes. There's a hiking trail, and it is within about 4 minutes of our home. So if you'd like to stop by, you'd like to have a special occasion that weekend, I'd be happy to take you there. It is a very fascinating place where you can learn about how other people respond to an environment such as this. The matter of gardening, since I'm on it, I thought I'd have a little something different. My little girl planted some corn. Some cobs are larger than others. But this is something that you probably have never seen in your life.
This is red popcorn, which is the most delicate popcorn when you eat it. Little sharp, sometimes it's tough. But this is the basic size of the cob. We raise it, we have a little garden of it, and whereas you might use any other corn any day of the week, when you pop this for a Friday evening or a Sabbath, sorry, after the Sabbath, something like that, after you get home, you know, there are things that you can do and share with others, and many of you are not just Catholic Student Aid, you have your own little garden, your own home. And I'm addressing this to many, you know, even if you have an apartment, it's amazing what you can do. And I think this is a very interesting illustration. Look how beautifully and perfectly filled this particular one is. I think when a little girl learns to do this, she's 12, 13 years of age, she's taking care of it. I think she'll enjoy popping the corn more than if you didn't raise it, if you only bought it. It happens to be something special. And it illustrates how many things you can share socially with others if you happen to have a little backyard. I think that kind of thing we often neglect. I have mentioned photography. And I would like to point up, I have here just to illustrate the instant it happened, this is an Associated Press publication. Most people don't know what makes good photography. Now, one of the important things about all of our publications, The Plain Truth for You, and necessarily television, is the skill to photograph. It's amazing. The book is just an illustration. It is classic illustrations of the instant it happened, as distinct from, you know, the long planned photograph. If you learn something about this, you'll be surprised. If you like photography and there are other people in the church who do, the same sex, the opposite sex, younger or older, you can combine that particular art and skill with many, many other areas. It can be strictly for personal pleasure. It can be for education. And there are people who make money at it. There are some people, not very many, but I think that in terms of learning to do it right, it is a very fine way, and I think that any young couple learn best about the other person, or any couple, whether you're younger or older, when you know something of what the other person is like at home, and their relatives, where they live, you know how things are kept, and you see this in photographs.
There's some people, not very many, but I think that in terms of learning to do it right, it is a very fine way, and I think that any young couple learn best about the other person, or any couple, whether you're younger or older, when you know something of what the other person is like at home, and their relatives, where they live, you know how things are kept, and you see this in photographs. Before we were married, my wife's family had numerous pictures, and they were often sent out, and I learned, you know, what their interests were, what it was like, how she grew up, what kind of a country she grew up in. It was the panhandle of Texas, and I had never been there before, one of the last places I'd ever looked for someone to marry. Near Oklahoma, you know. And we all knew in California what Okies were like in the 30s. It was, you know, these stereotypes, but God knows best. I think that you could do this as combine a hobby and share some remarkable experiences with all age groups. You know, there are older people who can't afford cameras, who don't know how to take a picture, they couldn't hold it steady. I mean, these things happen with age. Who might like to have a picture of something? Our own congregation, normally, whenever we have a social function, we have an album in which we put the new pictures, which I think is an interesting experience, and you learn something of what older occasions were like. You sort of meet people in a different situation than merely seated in the church, and this could be carried back to other congregations. I think it would be a very fine opportunity. to put some ideas like this to work. We were discussing sports. This happens to be a book that is devoted to the art and sport of bodybuilding. I just happened to pick it up because it's both an artistic work in the sense of the human form, but we have fellows and girls who enjoy sports, especially pumping iron is what it's called. My daughter, who is an artist, one is here, has in fact drawn one of the leading men here and did very well in the presentation of the human form. And I think to keep in form, you know, there are no small number of young men who probably would profit by Harry Snyder's social opportunities. And I'm mentioning him, he's a teacher in the area of bodybuilding itself. I don't go for and I don't spend my time doing that. I much prefer to be doing something else, but sometimes young men especially who lack confidence and lack the graces and don't even really know how other competent men make their contacts can learn a lot by getting over their social inhibitions and their personal inhibitions about themselves. And I think that's an area that sometimes young people, especially men, can help themselves a great deal in if they get together as a group and learn and profit by those who know how to, shall we say, date and be socially gracious. And the same thing is true of women in other areas of entertainment. Whenever you go to other people, be observant. That's a very important aspect of social growth and development. I feel that one thing we don't do enough of is to have an opportunity for some young people who are single or some married to invite others over and to cook or prepare for others. This is, of course, something that we commonly neglect because restaurants and McDonald's tend to be so commonplace, but no small number of you don't have this kind of money. And I think that you lack a great deal if you haven't learned how to invite others over. You know, one thing I did, we had an occasion. We needed some butter, and I had some raw cream, and we were entertaining some older people, and older people like to talk. You know how that is. Especially the younger ones know. So what I did, you know, I find that it was often easier just to let the older people talk, and on occasion I would respond. And they talked with each other. And I put the raw cream in a 2-quart jar, and while they talk, I shook. And I churned it. And we had lots of fun in the living room doing it. And my wife was preparing a meal and cooking. Now, this was not something that young people would normally do just for the elderly, but I think many of you can do it for others. I know some of you do very well, fellows as well as girls, in cooking and therefore introducing other young people. I appreciate it very much when many years ago, when we were only recently married, it was not uncommon in the 50s to invite others over to home meals. This was before restaurants seemed within reach. But now I think the trend has changed, and I have no objection to proper restaurant meals, and I take others out, but frankly, I think that many of you women can learn a lot about cooking, and you know, fellows learn a lot about women this way, in terms of whether they're the kind of person you would really want to live with morning, noon, at night at the table. The first girl we had cooking in our home prepared marvelous vegetables and a burnt offering. The experience of Mr. Ullman, you know, about his wife, that's mostly gossip, of course, as he has assured you. But for those of you who know the area and an auditorium PM, you realize how interesting social life can be at home. And when you are at home and after a meal, you know what you can do? You can show slides of your photography. You can show other things that you have done, and you can make a very interesting evening. We have never developed what I could possibly do. I think that we could, I don't take the time. I won't say I don't have it. I don't take the time. But we're set up. We have a nice, large living room. We're set up that we could show many slides and films for entertainment. There are some remarkable films, even in this area of bodybuilding and the world championships that are available for young people who have an interest in that after you have, let's say, an evening occasion. A book that I highly recommend visually and textually for this kind of thing as a gift and to help other young people, this is a paperback which has 60 photographs in color for $3.95. I don't think you can beat that. Let me just flip through this way as an illustration. All the great dishes of the world from 20 or 30 countries are given here. It's the finest presentation that I know of. And I think it gives you both a thorough description and otherwise the best of international cuisine. Delicious recipes from 26 countries. And you'd be surprised how many older people can do something like this for younger people. And bring younger people, married couples, bringing single people together to get acquainted with each other. And I think we neglect that. And I'm addressing the few who are married here. That there is often a tendency to neglect this kind of responsibility where we can help others and bring others out of their shells, so to speak. Not to mention young people alone who are single and who are interested in each other, getting together and doing something for another. And some of you are black. We have at home a very interesting recipe, a West African cookbook. Which has some very fine recipes. I mention that because, you know, ethnic cooking is the kind of cooking I like best. My wife had last night a Thai recipe of ginger and chicken, which was, I think our children would say, the finest recipe that we have. It can be eaten warm or cool or cold. So it's something for every time of the year and for Sabbath and every other kind of day. I don't want to emphasize that too much, but I brought that for our black brethren here, especially who might have an interest. And since I mentioned Thai cooking, this is probably the best. Again, $3.95. I don't think you can go wrong in some of these inexpensive works of this nature. Extremely educational. My wife would be happy. If any of you were interested to even tell you a little bit about Thai cooking, which from the point of view of my world travels, I think that my wife now cooks Thai more than any other form. And many people from England who've traveled worldwide would regard Thai cuisine, that's Siamese, same thing, Siam, Thailand, as susceptible to the least number of failures because it's peasant cooking. It's not the haute cuisine of the French nobility. I mention that because we have found that no one who's been a guest in our home has ever found Thai cooking other than most acceptable, absolutely most acceptable. And these things can, you know, this is probably the primary area in which fellows and girls getting together singly can profit the most, and where elderly people and young people, or a young couple who are somewhat interested in each other, can invite a widow and younger children. And you'd be surprised what can be done to make the social life of others truly happy. I think this is one of the great neglected areas. I mentioned briefly photography. I thought I would bring here what some of our congregation already knows about. We took a trip to the Grand Canyon on the weekend of July 4th. It's not the normal time to go down into this desert climate, but it happened to be when a storm was passing over and the temperatures were plummeting, and so we knew this was the right moment. And I don't take pictures normally, but our daughter, who is an artist, also has a camera, which was needed for school, and we have photographs here of the trip. You combine hiking with photography. You can combine photography with so many things, and I think that you will find some of the finest pictures anywhere photographically of the Grand Canyon. It illustrates, you know, we took a little girl along who was 13. I thought she was going to be company for the little girl, and she turned out to be company for me. That's what happened. She found me most interesting, and I found her most interesting. This is Harry Rabbani's little girl. And our little girl, who's the same age, found her brother most interesting, and I had no other choice. So this is an illustration. This one is in another angle, but it gives you an idea of what you can find and experience on a trip. Now let me tell the rest of the story. These pictures all came from a film that somebody lost in the Grand Canyon. We developed them just by chance. A spectacular photographer he must have been. You come up here and look later. If you've never been there, these are better pictures, truer to life and color than I've ever seen. And it was somebody's loss, which was our gain. Just can happen, one never knows. But some of you are like Winston Churchill. You like to paint. Have you ever thought of cycling? You know, you could cycle. You might like to cycle into the lower hills, or you take a ride if it's too high, you cycle to the beach. And you might find some person you'd like to paint, either paint the person or paint with the individual, and you can share certain things together. I doubt that we seriously give heed to sometimes the more quiet moments. Did you know too often dating is one long, consistent conversation? I had to take a woman out who talked too much once, and I knew the solution in her case was to take her to lunch. And she talked while I ate. And she talked while I ate. And I sometimes responded, and then she started to eat, and I didn't talk. I ate also. And then we both talked a little when it seemed appropriate. And you know, I asked her, I said, do you know why I thought it would be nice to have you for lunch? She said, yes. I talk too much. I have learned, she said, that it is possible to enjoy an occasion without always speaking. Now this, you know, this happens at home. Now unfortunately, we have the other extreme of men with a beer and TV, and their feet are up on something, and that's about all they do except with a newspaper after they get home. We have some in the church almost like this. Most men and women after they're married don't talk nearly as much as before, and they're suddenly a shock. It's because there needn't be a shock. They have never learned to share some things quietly together. You know, my wife and I can sit. We have a sofa. It happens to have a centerpiece, but they don't have to have a centerpiece. Ours does. She sits there and I sit here. We might read side by side the newspaper, sunset, the Bible, the history book, something on whatever it is. And we might be there for half an hour or an hour and not say a word to each other, and we are appreciating each other's company. And suddenly my wife might want to bring something to my attention and I stop and listen, and vice versa. This is an experience that happens after you're married, that you don't always talk. And sometimes it is these silent moments that become extremely dreadful later, because people didn't know how to live with each other before they were married. And so there is a time sometimes to share the more quiet things together. And you, as I say, you might like to cycle, you might like to ride to a place where you draw. And some of you are good artists. Some of you could be good artists. And some of you should be taking photographs. That's obvious. I brought a work here that I thought illustrates how simple, something that with just a little skill you can either do at home or somewhere else. You know, way to the beach. My daughter drew something like this in probably one or two sittings. Something simple. I just illustrate something simple, not something elaborate, that you might do on a single Sunday date, where both of you might like to draw. This is Annalise's, who's here today also. I think it's a good illustration of learning some skills. Now, your first paintings won't look like this. This is not her first. But, you know, if you find that you have someone who is an artist and you're interested, why don't you have a date and go someplace? Maybe you like to draw something or have them over. You can sit in your own backyard and do something like this and talk and paint. You know, Churchill found this extremely relaxing under the pressures of the Second World War. I doubt that we have ever really thought of the perspective. In which case, you see, if you were to look at all we've talked about, Mr. Butler's mentioned, the focus is on sharing things with someone else. Entering into someone else's life or having them enter into yours, irrespective of the age bracket. Some of these things only sighted people can do, and some things like enjoying a spa with someone who's not, or someone who's crippled, and someone who's healthy. You can climb and hike, whether you are handicapped or otherwise, in different ways. It's amazing what can be done. And you share things with others. To be able to explain to someone who's not sighted what it's like to be on a hike, to hear the sounds that you do not otherwise see, or someone who hears sounds but you don't because he hears and you only see. There are many things like this that we can share in, and such magazines as I've mentioned and our social contacts within the church can spread the awareness of what is occurring. And what I wanted to do today was not tell you what you all know, maybe better than I do, what you can do Saturday night in being entertained by the world, or, briefly, dining and entertaining yourself, but thinking what you can do of a long summer evening, or what you can do inside in a long winter evening, and sharing a little something with others, in which romance and marriage and this kind of pressure cooker that often leads to marriage is not the big thing you need to be concerned about.